There he goes into that drugstore. He's stepping on the scale.
Weight 239 pounds. Fortune, danger.
Who is it?
The
Batman.
And now here's the Batman in Murder is Forecast. The end of a hectic day, and I felt I could do with a little rest. I risen early to be at the police lineup with Lieutenant McKenzie, helping him identify a little guy who just got separated from his wife. Only instead of a divorce, he used a meat axe. The rest of the day was routine but tiring. I decided to turn in early, and it was only a little after 9 when I reached home. My brand new shipment of trouble was waiting for me just outside my apartment door. And the way this baby twitched when he saw me made me feel that this trip I was in for a Lulu.
You're Brad Runyon, ain't you? The fat man?
Yeah. What's on your mind?
I've been waiting here for over an hour, hoping you'd show up. You didn't see anybody outside the house across the street, maybe, when you came in?
No.
That's good. If that's all, that's okay. I'm still in the clear.
If it's not too much trouble, you might tell me who you are and what you're doing outside my apartment?
My name is Giles. Dan Giles. I need protection, fat man, and I need it bad. All I want is for you to let me stick around until 11 o'clock. Only 2 hours. That's all I need, and then I'll take a powder. And here is $200 for your trouble.
At $100 an hour, you must need companions for bad.
Look, all open up, will you, and let's talk inside. It ain't safe out here for me. Oh, open up and give me a break, huh?
After you, Mr. Giles.
Yes. Thanks. You got a drink here, maybe?
Huh? No. Sorry. I wasn't expecting company. Well, what's the gimmick? Who's after you and why?
I don't know. All she said was that I'd get it by 11. You get that? I'd get it by 11.
Sure.
If I can hold out for 2 hours more.
All who said?
Marta. She's a fortune teller, a gypsy. She reads the cards and she reads the pawn. She said I'd crack by 11 p.m. I'd crack by 11 p.m. And them fortune tellers are always right.
How old are you, Giles?
Me? Yeah, I'm 46.
Do you still believe in Santa Claus?
You kidding?
When a guy your age goes in for palm reading, he needs a psycho, not a private detective.
Yeah, they've been right with me before. Anyway, you got no kick. You're getting paid, ain't you?
Where did you do your time, Giles? San Quentin?
Hey, what do you mean?
Take it easy. You've got Stirbird written all over you. They don't get your color in Miami or Palm Beach. And that's an ex-con twitch, if I ever saw one.
Okay. Leavenworth. 10 years.
What for?
Larceny.
When did you get out?
3 days ago.
On parole?
No parole. I'm free. I can go wherever I like, see? I can leave the country if I wanna. I done my time, and I'm going straight. I don't carry no more rods, and I don't blow no more safes. All I wanna do is just to be left alone.
Oh, yeah? It's beginning to come back to me.
What?
Rusty Giles, alias the Mystic. A payroll robbery with a couple of hundred grand is the take.
Hey, you got a good memory, fat man.
You're the guy who used to plan his jobs according to the stars. Hey, you wouldn't move unless you got an okay from the gypsy.
Yeah, well, I'm through with all that stuff. Help me. I done time twice, mister, and I ain't setting myself up for another rap.
You don't need a palm reader to tell you that makes sense, Giles.
Where's your phone, fat man?
Right behind you. Who are you calling?
The only one in town I can trust. I've been hiding there until I can complete a little unfinished business.
Hello?
Oh, Annie?
Rusty, where are you? You are right.
Yeah, I'm okay, baby. So far. I'm with Brad Runyon, the fat man. Hey, you hear anything?
No, nothing.
You been home all evening?
Yes. Hey, Rusty, I'm scared. I'm worried about you, honey.
Ah, that's okay. The fat man's got a rod. He knows how to use it. I'll call you again after I leave. A little after 11.
You sure you don't want me to pick you up?
No. You stay where you are. Let me handle it.
Okay. But take care of yourself, honey.
Yeah, I'll be all right. See you later.
The girlfriend?
Yeah.
Anybody else know you're here?
I got a feeling about half of New York knows it. I been trailed all afternoon. I blew into town around 4 and went to take the martyr, the fortune teller, the way I always used to.
Well,
then she told me.
That you'd be a death pigeon by 11 tonight.
Yeah. Listen, let's stop the gab. I don't want to do any more talking. I just want to sit here with you until 11 and then blow. That's the deal, isn't it?
Yeah, that's the deal. Is that you'll have to time yourself. My watch went on the blink this afternoon.
No, it's okay. I got a watch. Yeah, it's 9:30 now. We got an hour and a half to go.
For the next hour and a half, he just sat there and hardly said a word. He kept chain-smoking my cigarettes until I ran out. And then he started nipping at his fingernails. Once we heard someone walking slowly up the steps, and he stiffened out like a gun dog at point. I put my hand over my gun holster so that the steps passed us by and kept climbing to one of the upper floors. Finally, he looked at his watch for the 100th time.
Hey, it's 11 bells, that man.
Is the party over?
Yeah. I'm all right now. I can go.
You can hang around for another hour if you like. I'll give you a cut rate, $50.
Hey, that ain't so funny.
My gags grow on you. Look, there's a hack stand at the end of the block if you're looking for a cab.
I got my car in front of the door. So long, fat man. And thanks.
Thank you. Yes, I'd better do a little checking, I think. I'd better see if my friend is really on the level.
Police headquarters.
Get me Lieutenant McKenzie. That was a soft $200.
Yeah, McKenzie speaking.
This is Runyon, Mac.
Well, Brad, what's on your mind?
Do you happen to know a con named Giles?
Giles? Rusty Giles?
Yeah, that's the rabbit.
Yeah, he was sprung a couple of days ago.
I just wanted to make sure his story was straight.
What story?
He's been in my apartment for the last 2 hours. Hold everything, Mac. I'll be right back. I took 3 steps and reached the window. Then I looked down. The street was empty except for a brand new roadster in front of the door. And a body was lying under the lamppost. It was Giles. And what was left of his face was turned up to the light. I glanced at the clock in the church tower up the block. It was just starting to strike 11. I went back to the phone and McKenzie. Hello, Mac.
Yeah, what's happened, Runyon?
Giles just had his palm read. And the gypsy hit it right on the nose. The only thing she forgot to tell him was that his watch was fast. I waited 2 minutes after McKenzie hung up and watched the body through my window. I wanted to make sure I wouldn't be set up as target number 2. But the street was empty and nothing moved. I checked my gun again and left the apartment. I took the stairs very slowly with my eyes glued on the vestibule door. My caution wasn't wasted. There was someone standing just outside in the vestibule.
Looking for someone, huh? Nobody in particular. Guess I got the wrong street. Yeah, I think the house I
was. Just a minute, mister. For a guy who's just walked past the corpse, you take it pretty calmly.
A corpse? What are you gassing about?
Did you have blinders on when you passed that lamppost?
What lamppost?
Over there.
Hey. What's eating you, fat man?
The body's gone.
Okay, Runyon, where's Giles?
Your guess is as good as mine, Mackenzie.
What are you talking about?
His body was under that lamppost 15 minutes ago. Now it's gone. So is his car.
Well, who's this?
You ought to know me by now, Lieutenant. The name's Duane.
Oh, sure, I remember you. Jimmy Duane, 10th Avenue ward healer and tough guy. Well, what are you doing here?
He's an innocent bystander. I first him, Max. He's clean.
You got nothing on me. I've been minding my own business. I didn't see nothing. And I didn't hear nothing.
Well, now, isn't that nice? That rates you a gold star and a lollipop.
You talk real big with a badge in your pocket and a rod in your hand.
Listen, that badge saved you from getting your teeth knocked out before this.
Take it easy, Mackenzie. You're a cop, not a fight promoter.
Brody!
Yeah, Lieutenant?
Take this gun to headquarters and hold him for the lineup in the morning.
Come on, get moving.
Now, lay off. I can't walk.
Yeah, he must know something. It took me 3 minutes to reach the street from my apartment. That's when they snatched the body.
He must have seen them. Well, I'll round up the rest of his gang and have him in the lineup in the morning, too. You gonna be there, Brad?
With fouls on. And as long as you're making a collection, Mackenzie, see if you can pick up a dame named Martha.
Marta?
Well, Marta who? She's a fortune teller. And pretty good at it, too. I just tell her not to forget her crystal ball. Police lineup is like a zoological laboratory. Instead of a microscope, the department uses a powerful light, which shines right into their faces as they stand along a stage up front. We can see them, but they can't see us. And the cops don't give any prizes for the $64 quiz. The first two lugs who were marched in were only vapors, a petty larceny rap and an assault and battery charge. But the next two were more to my liking.
Okay, who's next, Brody?
Charlie Nielsen. You know him, Runyon?
Sure. Mind if I pump him a little?
He's all yours.
Bring him in, Brody.
This way, big shot.
Doc, take that light out of my face.
What's the matter, Charlie? Bashful?
Never mind a white trick. Satisfy your curiosity and get me out of here.
Now, let me see his history, Mackenzie. Thanks. Mr. Charlie Nielsen, alias of Squeak, convicted in 1928 for rum running. His time in San Quentin until 1933. Convicted again in 34 for carrying concealed weapons, Leavenworth, until 42.
You want to write a book.
You know a guy named Rusty Giles, Charlie?
Giles? I never had the pleasure of making his acquaintance.
You're a liar, Charlie. A cockeyed liar. Giles was one of your mob in 33. You knew him before he did his stretch in Leavenworth.
You must have the wrong guy. In 1933, I was running a nursery school in Hoboken.
You won't get nowhere treating this slob with respect. Let me handle it.
Now, wait a minute, Mackenzie. Get Duane in here.
Marty! Bring in Duane! On your feet, pal.
All right. What's all them lights for? Turn them out.
You know what they're for. There's no novelty to you, Jimmy. I won't bother to go over your little doubt here. It'll take me an hour to read it. You remember, Mr. Nielsen, I presume?
Never saw him before in my life.
That's funny. I've been told you two were in partnership.
Why, we never even been formally introduced.
You're sure you didn't run into each other last night around 11?
I was home in bed last night. I was sick.
Tommy ache.
Look, you got nothing on us. I want to see my lawyer.
Where's Giles Duane? Open up or I'll...
You what, Lieutenant? You know you got nothing to hold us.
He's right, the rat. I haven't.
Where's Marta? You pick her up, Mackenzie?
Brody, you get hold of that gypsy?
Not yet, Lieutenant. We picked up a dame named Annie Kincaid a few minutes ago.
Rusty's girl.
Where is she? Inside, Lieutenant.
Let me go to her alone, Mackenzie. She might get out for me.
What are you doing? Running this department?
Not yet, but don't put any ideas into my head.
Now, I'll see you in a couple of minutes.
Come on, Brody. Hello, Annie.
What a fine bodyguard you turned out to be, Fat Matt. Rusty would have been better off if he stayed away from
you. Relax, baby, relax.
I want cooperation, not an argument.
What are they pulling me in for? What's the big idea?
We just need a little information. We're looking for a palm reader named Margaret. You know where she lives?
Maybe.
Now look, you know the setup, Annie. Rusty must have told you all about it. But maybe you're not interested in putting a finger on the guy who conned your boyfriend.
I'd like to put 10 fingers on him, around his throat.
Then give out. Where is Margaret?
14 Lewis Street, in the village. She runs a store on the ground floor.
That's better. Hey, Brody, tell the lieutenant to hang on to Nielsen to wait until he hears from me.
Well, I say you went.
Tell him I've gone out to get my fortune told. Are you Martyr?
Yes. What can I do for you?
A couple of friends of mine told me you were pretty good at looking into the future.
Martyr does not see into the future. She only tells you what she reads in your palm. Please sit down.
Thanks.
Your right hand, please.
It's all yours.
You are a man who likes to live, to eat well.
You're doing fine, Martyr.
I see a blonde young woman coming into your life.
Bleached or natural?
You joke with Martha. You do not believe what she tells you.
I'm a little bit of a palm reader myself, Martyr. Maybe that's why I'm skeptical. How would you like me to forecast your future?
I don't understand.
Let's see your hand.
What are you...
Not so good.
No?
You're a girl who likes to live, and you've been doing pretty good at it, up to now.
So?
But there's something that's cutting off your lifeline over here. It looks to me like a chair. A chair with wires all over it. I see you strapped in that chair, Martyr.
What are you talking about?
Now I see a tall, dark man moving into your life, and he's got his hand on a switch behind your back.
Who are you? What do you want?
I thought you knew everything, Martyr. The name is Runyon. Sometimes I'm called a fat man.
A detective?
There was a man in here yesterday afternoon, remember? A man by the name of Rusty Giles?
No.
You're not as good at looking into the past as you are in the future. Rusty Giles was killed last night, and you called it to the minute. I'll come, Martyr.
I don't know what you are talking about.
No. Let's see that palm again. Your lifeline looks even shorter than it did before.
Let's go.
How about it, Martyr? No. Do we start trading secrets? Or do I yank you in on a suspicion of murder?
No, please. I have nothing to do with it.
Why did you forecast Rusty's death?
But I was just guessing, that is all.
You'll have to guess better than that for the police.
They'll kill me if I talk. I know they will.
If you say the right thing, Martyr, they won't even have time to consider it.
You'll give me protection.
All the way.
All right. I tell you, there was a tall man, dark complexion, who came in yesterday morning.
Was his name Duane?
He did not tell me his name. He just showed me a gun. That was enough. He said he was a friend of Rusty Giles.
You knew Giles before he was sent up the river, didn't you?
Yes. He would come in here at least once a week so I could read the stars.
What did Duane tell you?
He said that Giles had just come back to New York and he would probably come to see me. He told me to tell him that he would die by 11 o'clock unless he came through.
Unless he came through? What do you mean by that?
He would not tell me, Mr. Onion. He just said Giles would understand. He said it was some kind of joke they were playing. And he gave me no choice about doing what he asked.
When Giles came in later, was he alone?
No. There was a girl. He called her Annie. He got frightened when he heard what I told him, and he said he was leaving town.
What else, Martyr?
That is all. I swear that is all.
That may not be enough for the police.
You promised to protect me. You promised.
You've got one more little job to do for me, Martyr. How do you rate as a spiritualist?
When I go into my trance, I can speak with anyone from the spirit world.
Well, don't go into your trance just yet. I've got to issue a few invitations. I'll give you instructions on what to say and how to say it.
Instructions? Since when do I need instructions?
Since now, Martyr. This particular spirit has to be coaxed into joining the party.
And who is it?
The ghost of Rusty Giles.
got in touch with Mackenzie, and together we mapped out a plan. At 9 that evening, I returned to Marty's and found that our guests were beginning to arrive.
Anybody here yet?
The girl is in the little room inside.
Everything all set?
Yes, Mr. Runyon. I suppose they can't leave the gardens.
They're being driven here in a police car. Don't worry about it. If you play it right, Marty, I might get what I'm looking for. But if you try any tricks, I'll have to start reading that palm of yours again.
I will do exactly as you say, Mr. Runyon.
Good.
Someone is coming in.
It looks like the rest of our company.
All right, inside, boys.
Okay. Well, look who's here again, Charlie.
What goes on? What's the idea of them coppers driving us here and then pushing us inside?
Marta's holding a seance, boys. I thought you might like to attend. Have either of you ever met the little lady?
Not me.
How about you, Duane?
Ask her.
I never saw him before, Mr. Runyon.
See?
Yeah. Call Annie and Marta. Sit down, boys. No, over here. And keep those chairs in a circle.
What is this? What's a gag?
Marta's going to introduce you to an old friend.
Oh, fat man.
Now, you sit next to me, Annie. Glad you came.
You will please hold hands in a circle and make sure the circle is never broken. Otherwise, the spirits will be angry.
Spirits? What spirits? Say, is this day not...
Shut up, Charlie.
We will now put out the light.
Oh, I don't know. Lights put out.
Quiet, please, everyone. Quiet. Quiet.
What's the matter with her?
I call now to the spirit world. Giles, Rusty Giles, where are you? Speak to me, Rusty. Speak through my voice. Where are you? Knock twice if you hear me call. He is talking now. He is saying something to me. He is telling me who his murderers are.
It's a fake! You can't kid me, it's a fake.
Who was it, Rusty? The man who called himself Duane?
That's a lie!
The man who came to see me? I can't hear you, Rusty. What? He was?
I ain't taking a rap for nobody. I'll tell you who bumped him off. It was... Ah! Ah! Put on the light. Not so fast,
baby. Let me go. Get your hands off me.
Hey, come, Brody. Grab a gun.
Let
him out. Demons and bullets for me to murder.
Easy, Duane. You've got a little explaining to do before you start pointing any fingers.
We trailed Rusty all the way to your house. We waited for 2 hours till he came out. Then we saw Annie here. Pull a gun and we'll let him have it.
It's a lie. It's a dirty lie.
Who put the body in the car?
Charlie, Charlie. I was keeping watch outside to make sure nobody saw him when you found me.
We didn't butt him up. We were just trying to steer him.
We knew how he saw over that palm reading malarkey, so we fixed it up with Marta. When he went up the river 10 years ago, he stashed away a 200 grand take he was supposed to split with us.
What did you do with the body, Charlie?
It's in a well out near the river. Well, he took it because he figured there might be something on it that would show us where the dough was hit. So.
Sounds like a straight story, Mackenzie.
Yeah.
Well, Annie, how about it? Are you going to sing a little, too?
You got enough on me to give me the hot seat twice. What else do you want?
Why did you do it?
What would you do if you waited for a punk 10 years, hit him out, and then found out he planned to take a powder on you as soon as he shook the mob that was after his dough?
I don't know, Annie.
Well, I do.
I'll do it again if I had the chance. His dough is in a safe deposit vault under the name of Cooper.
If you give me a break, I'll tell you where.
You're telling us where, sister, and you're not getting any break. I'll do one little thing for you, Annie, just to show my heart's in the right place.
Yeah? What?
I'll put a sign on the door to your apartment. Annie doesn't live there anymore. Seems I spend my life in getting into trouble and getting out of it. But at the same time, I generally manage to get some other people in and out of trouble, too. And now, this is the Fat Man signing off. So long.